Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
Inside the focus of the Patriots Playbook for a Wednesday here on Patriots.com Radio. I'm John Rook. Eric Scalavino from PFW is here for at least a little while because he's got an appointment with the Dr. Dennis, which is it?
I don't fear the dentist.
You don't fear the dentist?
No, look at these choppers.
He's got pretty good choppers. Too. Field's going to come down for a while.
Excellent. All right, well, get the hell out of here then. No, I was just saying that maybe you want to go get gassed up and get the funny juice going a little bit quicker.
No,
I don't know.
I'm okay. I'm good.
Oh, just is it just a
routine?
You know,
yeah,
routine
6 months,
today.
Every
okay.
6 months, you know.
Oh, okay. All right. So no drilling today.
There better not be. I'm not planning on it.
I gotcha. Okay. Well, good luck with that anyway.
Thanks.
So let's get then right to the matters at hand. Practice going on right now as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of those who are present and who are not present.
Well, he might be there now, but he wasn't there at the start. Quarterback Tom Brady.
I had heard that rumor today.
Yeah. And he was at his daily press conference. So I would just imagine that seeing how he threw a record number of passes for him on Monday or Sunday night, he might just be taking a little bit.
Yeah, we
bit
almost
of a break.
Got to the Drew Bledsoe number of 70.
Yes.
We came close.
Came very close.
So he may need to rest the arm because it might just be about ready to come off the hinge.
Might be. And that was the first question posed to him today by our friend Tom Curran, who said, you know, did you have to ice up your shoulders? Something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Or ice up your arm a little bit more after the other night. And Brady said, yeah, I think everybody was a little sore after that game.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of acknowledged, too, that he was feeling it after that.
Need a little extra time.
Yeah.
This, I think, is the great fear, and I'll let you continue in a moment. But here's the thing, why I know that some fans are beginning to sort of contemplate what the best option is for the Patriots as the 3 or the 4 seed if the 1 or the 2 are unattainable. Do you have any thoughts on that, one way or the other?
Well, I do, actually. I think they should continue to fight for the number 2. As long as you have a chance to get a week off in the playoffs, you should take it, and you should do everything you can to take it. Now, scheduling is such that they're going to be playing at the same time, I believe, that the what's that game? You know what? That's probably a 4 o'clock game. Cleveland at Denver, is that a 4 o'clock game?
I think so.
Right, so they won't have the luxury of knowing what the outcome of that game is, so they have to fight as if assuming that Denver could lose that game.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to try to win their game, I think. I don't think they should take the Jacksonville game lightly at all. I know that there are people who need rest on the team, guys who are banged up, but you can worry about that the following week if things don't fall into place this week. You know, if Houston, for instance, doesn't lose to the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that happens too, now you have a very...
You got a couple of things that are on the table.
A couple of things that could happen too, where they could lose the following week at Indianapolis. If that's the case and New England wins out, New England gets a bye.
Right.
They get the 2 seed.
Right.
And if those things happen and Denver loses, guess what? They're the number one
seed. Yeah.
It's remote. I get that. But as long as there's a chance, you should fight for it, I think.
Do you believe that the guys in the locker room feel the same way and that's the coaching staff philosophy?
I certainly hope so, because I wouldn't want my coach or my players to go in thinking anything less than that.
See, I kind of think that way, too. I really don't think that any of those guys, and you probably know this as well as anybody, Eric, I don't think any of those guys pay, you know, really much attention, if at all, to any of the, okay, if we win this scenario, then so-and-so's got to beat so-and-so. I don't think anybody pays any attention. I think they clearly are focused on, you know, the task at hand, and that's trying to get motivated for Jacksonville Jaguar team that, quite frankly, has not motivated too many people this year,
and,
including themselves.
Right, and I mean, is that the kind of attitude you want with your team? I mean, I know health is important, obviously, going into the playoffs, but everybody needs rest at this time of year. Every NFL team needs rest. Every NFL team has guys who are banged up. New England likes to list a lot more than most teams on their injury report, but that doesn't mean they're any more banged up than anybody else, yeah. I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
You should have the attitude that, look, hey, we want to be the best that we can be. We're not going to lie down for anybody. We're not going to take anything for granted. We're not going to take – because, you know, we've seen plenty of instances, John, where – and I think Fred mentioned this at the end of the show, too. The Colts were a prime example of this, where the Colts, during their run with Tony Dungy, were
right.
known for resting their guys at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And only once did they win a Super Bowl with that strategy. They got knocked out of the playoffs most years going with this, well, we're going to take it easy and rest our guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy that. I don't think you should have that attitude. I really don't. Fight as long as you can. Now, if Houston wins this weekend and Denver wins this weekend, okay, maybe you think about the Miami game the following week a little differently. But until then, you've got a chance to be the number one seed, as remote as it might be.
Fight for it, right?
Or at the very least, the two seed, you got to fight for it.
Now, let me pose to you another, you know, if, ands, or buts question. Say you win this weekend, but you get eliminated. And I think that's possible, is it? If you're eliminated from the possibility of at least a shot at the two in the last week? Or if you lose this week, probably one. If you lose this week, you're eliminated. What do you do at the last week?
Well, then I think you should certainly try to rest as many guys as you can in the last week.
Which means then you could conceivably go into the playoffs on a three-game losing streak.
Possibly.
Then what do you do? Is that healthy?
Well, it's not ideal, but if it comes at the cost of getting your banged up guys a little bit healthier, I'll take the risk.
So you would still take the risk. You'd basically tank the last three games,
yeah.
or two of the
two.
Last three.
Yeah.
You'd finish 10-6. You'd still get by on the, you know, seat of your pants as far as the AFC East is concerned. You'd be no worse than the four because you won a division title.
Mm.
And you'd probably face Indianapolis.
A lot of things have to factor in. We have to find out whether or not the Ravens can beat the Giants this week. We have to find out if Denver beats Cleveland and Houston. Those three teams, it depends on what happens in those three games, in addition to what happens with
the Ravens-Giants game is important. How?
Because if they win and New England loses at Jacksonville,
then
now you're in a tiebreaker and you lose to the Ravens in
right.
the tiebreaker and you're
right.
all, suddenly the fourth.
You're all of a sudden the four. Okay.
Then at that point, then you might as well just give up on Week 17.
On Week 17.
Yeah, so those three games are the most important outside.
I get the reason that I asked the question is because it seems to me every year we get into this scenario where you weigh the pros and cons if you're not in a bye of basically tanking the last game or playing your starters for basically what amounts to the same amount of time as a preseason game, largely because you know that they're not, you know, you've got to play, you know, in the opening round of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And, I agree with you that if you've got a mathematical shot at playing for something higher, you have to go for it. I think that speaks to the integrity of the game overall. I don't think you can, you know, but I just don't think you can give up on that. But if you have no mathematical chance to improve your lot in life, and you know you got to play the opening week, I'm wondering why you don't rest in order to be able to make sure that everybody is you know, on the same page for a game that, you know, hey, you win, you play, you lose, you're done.
Especially in the play, and I don't know if you share this thought with me, John, but the teams that are considered the best teams, there's not much difference between them and everybody else. In other words, I think there's so little difference between New England and Houston or New England and Denver that it matters where those games are played in the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
as to who I think would win those games.
Well, I don't necessarily disagree. I like...
So that's why I think it's important that you fight for your home games much as possible.
Yeah, right.
Because that could mean the difference between advancing to the Super Bowl or not.
Well, that's kind of what I think. Although I would admit that there's really not a venue in the AFC this year that completely and totally, you know, scares me.
Denver?
Denver.
With this team's history there?
Denver concerns me, but I don't think it scares me. And again, I know that history, you know, shows otherwise, but this team, this Patriots team, doesn't care flip one about history. And it's a different Denver team as well. I don't think there's really any correlation at all to what might have transpired in the past for New England going in to play Denver in Denver this year. Now, I think the Patriots have played Peyton Manning about as well as anybody has played Peyton Manning in his entire career. They had a 31-7
early
lead
in the year.
Earlier in the year. They still had a 31-7 lead over this team. I think these guys feel like, you know, and I realize that Denver's better, and I know those guys have improved around Manning, and I know Manning has also improved, and undoubtedly we're going to have this conversation before such time as maybe the Patriots and Broncos do play this game. We'll talk about all of this all over again. But as it stands right now today, I still have to think the Patriots win that game. Regardless of where it is. And I realize that, you know, you're on a roll now because you picked the Niners to win last week.
I'm not on a roll.
You're on a roll.
I am not on a roll. I said there wouldn't be a touchdown in the game. I predicted.
You still picked the 49ers to win it.
I predicted 11 field goals.
Although you did miss the score by just a smidgey. Would you say
18-15.
Yeah, 18-15.
I said it was going to be
all 41-34.
Yeah, and it was
so that ought
touchdowns.
To give you that ought to give you at least some kind of an indication about the Patriots' offense against anybody's defense. The Patriots lost this game, Eric, on Sunday night because they made too many mistakes
in the first half. Right, and then
they lost the game. Yeah. San Francisco took advantage of
that.
San Francisco did not win the game.
Yes, they did. And if the two teams play again in the Super Bowl, it'll be a different story.
Because I agree with that.
I don't see the Patriots making those same mistakes
again. I don't either. In fact, I would look forward. I would relish the chance to play the Niners.
I do. I would, too, because I think New England would have their number.
I do, too. I totally agree. I think they can move the football. I think they figured it out. They made enough adjustments at halftime.
And hopefully they'll be healthier. They'll have Gronkowski, which would be a difference.
That's a huge difference. If you have a healthy Rob Gronkowski, I think we saw that in the Super Bowl last year.
Yep.
So, I can understand some of the sentiment this week from some media people and some fans I've talked to where, you know, they're not totally taken back by this loss, that you see enough good coming out of what happened on Sunday night, even though it's disappointing they lost the game. You see enough good to think, you know what, this team could still be in it for the long haul. And I happen to share that sentiment. Nobody's happy with a loss. I do think the Patriots blew it. I think they had every chance to win it. Probably should have. I should have won it when they came back to tie it up at 31.
I thought it was going to be over at that point. I didn't see the long kickoff and the touchdown right after that.
Well, my whole point yesterday was
Teams usually don't do that anymore.
The biggest nitpicks was is how does Gostkowski not kick that ball through the back of the end zone? That one totally and completely blows me away when you give LaMichael James a chance to return the ball on you. You're asking for trouble.
Mm.
You could have taken care of that. One man alone could have put that on his shoulders and taken care of that problem and backed them up on their 20-yard line and did not do his job.
That's a good point. He kicked it short.
He did kick it short. And, I'm not putting the whole loss on him, okay? There are several other people to blame here. But you make a comeback like that when you score 28 unanswered in a matter of, 11 minutes or whatever it was on game time?
Yeah.
And you've got the momentum by the cojones, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you got it.
Oh, it wasn't
and San Francisco is staggering. They're really, it's like a heavyweight knockout fight.
Yeah.
Heavyweight fight. San Francisco's been jabbing, and they've already decked the Patriots twice. And now the Patriots come out in the third quarter, and late in the third quarter, and they throw haymakers, man.
Mm-hmm.
They're throwing haymakers in the fourth quarter,
and
they just connected, and they decked San Francisco, and they let the Niners come up off the canvas with that kick.
And then the killer touchdown pass.
Well,
right after
yeah.
That. I mean,
and in fact, that was a great call. That was a superb call by San Francisco to go for the jugular right there.
And New England went all-out blitz on it, too.
Went all-out blitz, and they isolated Kyle Arrington, and he made a bad play. It could not have been a worse-case scenario. All things bad happened at once, and the Niners exploited it.
Isn't football amazing in that way?
It is.
It turned around that quickly.
It was amazing.
As quickly as New England came back.
It's like spinning on a dime, you know? You hear that phrase a lot. But you're spinning, it's a tight turn. And it's a quick turn. And it's like, whoa, what was that? You know? And you're kind of doing the double take. And all of a sudden you're down by 7 again. And I'm like, game over. I knew it right there.
Yeah.
I knew it right there. The game was over.
But yeah, if they had limited San Fran to a touchback, Or short return,
and
even a short return,
and made him march the field.
Yeah, I think
the Patriots defense comes out with their ears pinned back.
Something would have happened.
It's another phrase I like, by the way. Pin those ears back, right? Yeah, and just absolutely get after them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they would have done that. And I think that's where the game was decided. And so because of that, frankly, I'm feeling like if there is ever a good loss, it's a shame that it had to happen because this does take them out of a real opportunity for a buy. But just maybe, if, you know, knock on Formica here, that no other injury problems happen, just maybe this is one that can kind of stick in their craw a little bit and help drive them.
Yeah, especially when you look at how, you know, in the 07 run, people were saying, oh, they probably should have lost to the Giants in that last game or lost a game early so that they didn't have the pressure or whatever. I don't buy that because I think if you're going for history, you go for history, 16-0, 19-0, whatever. But there is something to looking back at historical trends and seeing teams that go into the playoffs on a roll and there being a loss in December right before the playoffs that is, quote-unquote, a good loss for them. Because now they've gotten that out of the way, and they're ready, more focused for the playoffs. I think this game could help the Patriots in that way. So I think you're right. It might be a good loss, or at least the timing of it might be. The team that they lost to also might, you know, considering that, it's a team that they could face in the Super Bowl. Having seen them and knowing what they can do against them now, knowing what they can do better next time against them, you have to look at it. You have to take the silver lining in that, and I think there are silver linings to be had.
Interesting. All right. Well, these are things that we can kind of use to sort of, I guess, build on over the course of the next couple of weeks. But right now at hand, you've got to try to figure out a way to get motivated enough to play a Jacksonville team that certainly has nothing to play for, and this is a situation where if you're not prepared, you could find yourself a little extra trouble on Sunday that you don't necessarily need. What about the rest of the practice report from today?
Aside from Brady, Mike Rivera, the linebacker, hurt his ankle. He actually started the game against San Francisco
right
in place of Brandon Spikes, and he himself got hurt, ankle injury, and really wasn't a factor after that, and Spikes came in and played. Those two guys, Brady, Rivera, were the only ones that we didn't see at the start of today's practice. Everyone else was there. Gronk, Dennard, who got hurt again against the Niners, Tlaib, who played with the bum hip, and everybody else was there. So for a team that has a lot of guys on the injury report, they're as healthy as you can expect for as far as guys being available to practice. Most of those guys are going to be limited, I'm sure. And I wouldn't be surprised if Brady ends up being limited either today, because I don't know if they can afford to give him an entire practice off, but maybe. We'll see.
Okay. What are your main concerns then going into Sunday, looking at it from the New England perspective, and you have to travel and all that kind of stuff?
Well, I think it's good that it's an early game in Florida. You don't have to worry about flying overnight and that long, you know, three-hour flight. They'll be home at a reasonable hour. My biggest concern is just staying healthy right now, staying as healthy as they are, at least not getting any worse. Key guys,
health,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Health is a major. Yeah. And provided,
get out of this game, get a win, but get out of this game without losing anybody significant.
Provided then that the health remains relatively, you know,
stable.
Mm-hmm. Any problems with this week's game?
I don't see any. No. I know Chad Henne has had some good games against New England.
He has.
And that is the only thing where if they don't get to him, maybe he puts up some numbers. But, again, I think if they had beaten San Francisco, I might be a little bit more concerned about a letdown. But after this loss, no, I think they'll win. I don't think it'll necessarily be a blowout, but I think they'll win. Comfortably enough. And by that I mean, you know, 10 to 14 points.
Interesting. All right. Something at least for us to feed on a little bit, and I guess we'll go over it more. Before we let him go off to the dentist, though, we have a little bit of duty we have to take care of today, Kevin,
sure.
Right?
I'm ready.
Okay. You've done your homework?
Today. Yeah.
Done your homework today?
Yeah.
That's good to know. All right, Kev, what do you say?
He's getting ready. He's punching it up. Got to get the strings.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
All right, Chief, fire away. What do we got today?
Luddite.
Luddite?
And that's with a capital L.
Luddite.
Yes.
L-U-D-D-I-T-E?
Yes, capital L. A Luddite, my friend, is one who is averse to technology and advancements thereof.
Okay.
So, used in a sentence, by embracing Twitter and his JR broadcaster Twitter handle, John Rook has proven that he is no Luddite.
Thank you. I am no Luddite.
You are no Luddite.
Wow. I think half of this stuff he makes up.
No. That's you can look up all the words that I bring
in here.
I'll
go to dictionary.com and,
want,
and go right to it.
Go right ahead.
Go right ahead? Okay.
Yep. And the explanation comes from, I believe there was. It has something to do with mill workers in the Industrial Revolution in England, I believe, who were revolting because technology was sort of putting them out of work.
Mm-hmm.
And the name Ludd, that's where the capital L comes from, because it was associated with somebody's name who had a similar type name or whatever. So
to Ludd.
Yeah, something like that. So they were called Luddites.
Okay.
That's where the word comes from.
Okay. Luddites. Mm-hmm. Someone who is no longer averse to...
Someone who is averse,
averse to
technology.
Technology.
Right.
Okay. So I guess if you're listening to us, you would not be a Luddite.
Right. Because you have either you're on your computer or your
you're
mobile
listening
device
to your mobile
or
device
something.
Or whatever.
Right, exactly.
You definitely would not
we don't
be
have
Luddite.
Any Luddites in our
we don't have
audience.
Any Luddites in our audience.
No.
Okay. Very well done. All okay. right. All right. Go get drilled.
Yeah. That didn't sound good, did it?
It sounds awful.
Well, hey, you never know. All right, that's Eric Scalavino. All right, let's pause here for a timeout. But before we get there, I got a couple of questions that I want to throw out at you that I'd like for you to sort of consider. Number one, sort of along the lines of what we were just talking about, you know, and the scenarios that are going to undoubtedly unfold over the course of the next couple of weeks where it comes to the playoffs and what the Patriots should do, whether or not they should play or whether or not they should rest if they don't have the bye, or, you know, there's obviously many different scenarios. Best case scenario, perfect world, all right? The Patriots are not allowed. The Patriots do not get a bye. What do you do in the last week of the season? Are you a rest them or are you a play them kind of person? Rest them or play them? What's more important to you as a Patriots fan and as a Patriots follower? What is more important to you to get this team ready for the playoffs? Rest them or play them? That's what I want you to vote. Webradio at Patriots.com. Webradio at Patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Again, it's 508-298-0398. You can hit me up on Facebook at John.Rook, or you can go to Twitter at JR Broadcaster. Do you rest them or play them? What's most important to you? We gave our opinions. It's time for you here in the playbook.
That is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hope's up, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Now is your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
As we roll along here in the playbook for Wednesday, Field Yates from ESPN Boston joined us, stepping in for E-Scal as he goes to get his face drilled. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. How
good.
Are you?
Excellent. You know, we were just kind of talking about, and I, of course I jest with Eric. He says, oh, it's just a checkup. But even, I don't know, maybe when I was younger, you know, I had the whole railroad track thing, the braces thing, and I kind of got numb to it. But now that I've kind of been away from it and I'm, you know, obviously moved on in age and life, the further I get away from it, the farther I keep want to go. I'm not a big fan of the dentist, and maybe that's just a phobia. What do they call it? Dentalophobia? I don't know.
Yeah.
But
that works.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. How are you with the dentist?
I'm okay.
You're okay,
I'm
with,
okay
it?
With it. You know, I've
like
been cavity.
You know why that is? Because
now.
I think I have a member of the Hitler Youth as my tooth cleaner.
Oh gosh,
she's brutal.
That metal hook, whatever they call it, is there any scary
Frau.
Stuff?
Yeah, Frau somebody. I don't know what, but she's just like. I mean, you talk about she. You know, well, I'll put it to you this way. When she, you know, sees me coming, she puts on the elbow patch because she is, like, ready to rock, you know? And she pulls out the big hook, and she just grinds away, and I can't think of anything more enjoyable.
It's not easy to be gentle with that big hook, but the hygienist has to find a way. That thing is scary. You're right.
Oh, my goodness. So that's kind of psyched me out there. All right, so as we go back to the matters at hand, we were just talking, as we get started here, a little about what Eric and I were just talking about. The fact remains is that this week just, it has a kind of a strange feel to it around here, and not quite sure if it's just a hangover from the San Francisco game as opposed to looking forward or not looking forward, as the case may be, to a team that's only won a couple of games that you got to play on Sunday.
Yeah, well, as we were just talking about off the air here, this is sort of like, you know, you're one of these top-ranked college football teams. Let's say you're Alabama and you come off a true battle with, you know, LSU late in November, and then all of a sudden you follow that up with, like, Western Kentucky or a 1AA school, and all of a sudden you're saying, you know, how are we supposed to get up? You know that on paper you are the more talented team, leaps and bounds ahead of them, but how do you find the motivation to stay mentally sharp and focused and go out there and sort of exert your will and prove that you are the better team and make it happen early and often? With the Patriots, you know, I know that it's different in the NFL. Every team has talent, but clearly you measure up the Patriots on paper against the Jaguars, and it's pretty obvious who the better team is, no matter whether or not they're playing on, you know, at home, on the road. Nonetheless, the Patriots shouldn't have any trouble finding motivation because, as we know, they are still jockeying for playoff seeds, even though a third seed looks more likely than a two. you got to find a way to keep pushing just in case Denver slips up or maybe Houston slips up in each of their last two games.
Well, I think that seems to be a little bit of the consensus, and I'm interested to find out what fans think overall, of whether or not you're a play 'em or a rest 'em kind of person and what you kind of favor here. But I definitely concur. I would say that if you've got a mathematical chance to improve your lot, and that, of course, means to finish with a bye and get one of those top two seeds, then I think you have to keep playing until you're eliminated for it, because you do have a built-in advantage. Now, granted, I know the number is, what is it, 4 of the last 6, 5 of the last 7 Super Bowl champs have come from wild card weekend, so it's certainly not the death knell. But at the same time, you do want to try to improve your chance any opportunity you get.
Absolutely. I think the Patriots should take this mindset. Is that, hey, there's no reason for us to fear any team in the AFC. You know, they beat Houston handily. They beat Denver fairly handily back in Week 5. A lot has changed since then. They lost to the Ravens, but clearly the Ravens are a different team at this point of the season than they were back in Week 3. So the Patriots have no reason to fear anybody. And so they shouldn't be afraid of going on the road, playing consecutive road games. They shouldn't be afraid of going to Mile High Stadium and dealing with the altitude. They should just be focused on what it does, what puts them in the best spot to be playing at Gillette Stadium, in case something happens with either the Broncos slipping up or Houston slipping up. No sense in resting your guys. If you are locked into a seed, that's one thing where, hey, no matter what happens, win, lose, or draw, we're going to be the 3 or 4 or 2 seed. Then I consider, resting guys who are banged up. But other than that, you got to play them.
Do you see any advantage over being the 4 as opposed to the 3 as it presently stands?
I think if you're the Patriots, are you really that much more excited about playing the Texans on the road than you are the Broncos? Let's assume that they are the 2 and the 1 seed. I mean, the Houston Texans, obviously they got trounced pretty easily here in Foxborough a few weeks back, but are they a bad team? No, they're not a bad team at all. They've won 12 games for a reason. They also are much better at home than they were in these past these past few road games they've had. And then also they'll be rested. They'll have 2 weeks to prepare for the Patriots. They'll have already taken their best shot. So I don't think there's a huge difference between the 3 or the 4. There's no advantage, at least in my eyes, of being the 4 seed.
Well, see, I've been trying to listen to some of the arguments for that over the last, few days anyway, and I'm like, I'm not buying any of this. I don't know why you think that you'd have any better a shot at playing at Houston than you would at Denver. Just because you beat a team 42-14, you beat Denver here as well. I realize it was earlier in the season. And, I know that I think there has to be, and the only thing I can surmise here is there has to be some sort of historical significance to those that would rather play Houston than Denver in the second round. And that's because of the history involved. Patriots have had some trouble in the past playing in Mile High.
Yeah, I think there's some credence that. I think over anything else, I think the biggest reason why you don't want to play Denver is because of Peyton Manning. Let's be honest. I mean, he is, the outside of Tom Brady, probably the best player in the AFC. So I can understand why you wouldn't want to face him in the playoffs versus a guy like Matt Schaub, who has yet to play or start a postseason game. So I can understand that vantage point. I'm just making the point that, hey, and I think you agree with this, it's not as if playing Houston is a guaranteed victory. You shouldn't be happy or enthusiastic about the idea of traveling down there as opposed to going to Denver. Both are stiff tests. You got to bring your best to win another game.
Yeah, I would think so. All right, so on top of all of this then, here's a team that's trying to get itself healthy, trying to overcome the emotion of, an unbelievable comeback, what was almost a comeback for the ages, I think, on Sunday night, and now you've got to regroup and steer your focus toward a team that just has not been very good this year. Just hearing myself say that screams, this is going to be hard.
Well, it could be hard. It could be hard because the Jaguars have actually been fairly competitive in games that they probably shouldn't have been if you looked at the talent on paper. They have 3 overtime losses. One of them came against Houston. And, they beat Indianapolis earlier this year. And I know that the Colts have been better. And maybe the record of 9-5 looks pretty good, but they've also had a fairly easy schedule. But they do have some nice wins, including over the Packers. So it's not as if they're a total fluke. I mean, they're a good team. But the Jaguars, it could be a tough test for the Patriots, but I think that the Patriots, if they play their game, there's no reason for this not to be a blowout, probably.
Do you feel like these guys, and I know Coach Belichick talked about this earlier today, any of these guys in the locker room take a look at playoff scenarios at all and think for a moment about what would be the better road to travel?
I think that they're trained not to. I really do believe that they understand that, hey, you can play out every single scenario. If we win this week and Denver loses and Houston wins and, the Ravens win, this, that, and the other. But the problem is that there's just so much that can change between now and the end of week 17. So I think that a week from now, if the Patriots have an obvious, hey, we win and we are at this spot, Yeah, I think they'll probably be thinking about it. But right now, I think they understand that a lot can change. And, you know, just last week when we were talking about this, we were saying, hey, here's the clear path to the number two seed. Well, look what happens now. All of a sudden, the Patriots could be anywhere between 1-4 with not a lot, you know, one game here or there could dictate the entire playoff standing. So I think that, you know, they probably have peaked. I think they're aware of where they are. I think they're aware of what Denver has left. But I don't think they're spending all their time trying to figure out what will happen.
Yeah. I can't imagine that. And I've always heard, you know, players say we don't pay any attention to this. But I also know that players are human.
Sure.
And from time to time, especially younger ones, and we all realize that this team, as we've talked about much of the time throughout the course of the season, this team is not the veteran presence team that we've had in previous years here, most recently. So because of that, you've got guys who are learning how to act and learning how to react, as well as learning how to play and get better as players. And that includes part of the mental game. And I would think that some of the younger guys, or maybe especially the ones that are a little bit more, technically savvy, and, you know, have the opportunity to go out and do a little tweeting and, you know, a little Facebooking and whatever else that they're going to do out there, they might have thought about this a little bit once or twice.
Well, I think you're probably right. The human aspect is there. I mean, we all, just like fans and analysts and broadcasters, and I'm sure the players too, I'm sure they have at least once in their mind, or probably much more than that, figured out that, hey, if we win and Denver loses, it gives us the two-seed path back. But, you know, I just think that players have a lot going on during the course of the week. I would like to think that their focus is just as much on the Jaguars, and probably much more on the Jaguars than it is, you know, worrying about what could happen if we win and someone else doesn't win or someone else does lose, you know, whatever it is. I think the Patriots players, more so than the average NFL team, are focused on the task at hand just because of the way that Bill Belichick leads them from the top.
Sure. All right, let's take a look at a couple of things, a couple of team-related issues here. Again, Field Yates from covers the Pats for ESPN Boston joins us here inside the playbook for a couple of minutes. First of all, about the Jacksonville Jaguars, Chad Henne is somebody that the team is obviously very familiar with through his time in Miami. He's had some good games against the Patriots in the past. What else other than Chad Henne's ability to come up with a big game every now and then should the Patriots be concerned with?
Well, there are a couple players worth noting on Jacksonville. I think that if he returns, Maurice Jones-Drew is a name that pretty much everybody knows. I mean, this is a guy that
one to start with. Yep.
You know, the rushing champion in 2011, he had 242 yards more than the next highest rusher in 2011. That was 1606 versus 1336 or 1364, I think it was, for, I want to say, Ray Rice or Arian Foster, one of those two guys. So this is a very talented back who's missed 8 games because of a foot injury. He sounds like he's questionable to play this weekend. If he does play, though, he's a talented guy. If it's not Maurice Jones-Drew, it could be a number of backs, Montel Owens or Rashad Jennings, who's dealing with a concussion right now, or maybe even there are a bunch of different guys in the backfield. They've turned to 3 or 4 different starters. But I think the guy that's worth noting who is going to play, unless something really changes, is Cecil Shorts, this wide receiver, a Division III product out of Mount Union, probably the best Division III football program in the country. This guy is fairly, I mean, I would say he's fairly under the radar, but it's probably time for that to change. He's second in the NFL with an 18.9 yards per catch average. So that's obviously, that speaks volumes of what kind of player he is.
Yep.
He can go down the field. He's got a reception of 50 yards or more in 3 of his past 5 games. Many will remember an 80-yard touchdown early on in the season that helped the Jags beat the Colts. This guy's probably the real deal in terms of overall athletic ability. He's not just a guy that comes up with big plays. He takes the screens. He can do some of the middle-of-the-field stuff, too. He's a name to watch. On the other side, Justin Blackmon, there was a reason why he was drafted number 5 overall, even though his production might not match up with some of the top wide receivers in previous draft classes, A.J. Green, Julio Jones. This guy's a good player. He's not a big athlete, but he's a big body. He's 6'1", 215. He's good in these competitive situations, one-on-one. He can find ways to leverage defenders. He's a pretty good player who seems like he's improving and been more involved since Henne's taken over under center.
And I think one of the things Patriots fans must realize is that anytime you have a couple of receivers that have the potential to do damage and a quarterback that could get them the ball against a Patriots secondary that's been up and down and mostly down rather than up, you should have some concerns.
Yeah, I think the big thing with the Patriots this weekend, there are two keys in my opinion. You know, the first one is taking care of the football. You know, that's obvious, but four turnovers last Sunday night, and if there's one way to equalize a game between two teams that have a discrepancy in talent,
it's turning the ball over.
Turnovers, and it's also big plays. You know, if you let them have a big return in the kicking game or a defensive touchdown or on offense, downfield throws, it can make the game interesting.
That's what happened against Seattle.
Yes, it did. Absolutely. They were burned late. Russell Wilson got them in a late fourth quarter touchdown, and Sunday night against San Francisco, San Francisco had three drives of one play for a touchdown. I mean, that's unheard of. I don't know if it's happened before. I mean, I haven't looked it up, but I would imagine that it hasn't happened often. I mean, three touchdown drives of one play, and it wasn't as if these were, you know, they were all, you know, turnovers that they got the ball at the 1 yard line and had to punch it in. I mean, they had a 63, or they had a, let's see, there was the one right late in the game. I mean, they've had a couple of really big drive. They had three. I mean, you know, big plays, obviously. So Patriots need to avoid the big plays, need to avoid the turnovers. I know it sounds obvious, but this week more so than others, they need to minimize those because that's the way that you keep a bad team, which Jacksonville is, in the game.
The other player I wanted to mention was Jeremy Mincy, who was a Patriots draft pick, I believe in 06, I think it was.
Yep.
And he clearly has found a good spot for himself, and he's had a pretty good season.
He has. He's a guy that last year really had a nice year at 8 sacks, got himself a big contract in the offseason, and Bill Belichick talked about him a little bit today, said basically, you know, this guy's kind of found a role that's really suited him. I think the Patriots tried him kind of in that outside linebacker back when they were operating mostly out of the 3-4, but I think Mincy's probably the kind of guy that's better with a hand in the dirt and playing off the edge, and he's been pretty good this year. He's got a few sacks for them. They've really struggled getting to the quarterback. I think they're last in the NFL with something like 15 or 16 sacks in the first 14 games. So pressure shouldn't be a huge issue for the Patriots this weekend. But a guy like Mincy is someone who can create his own pressure and get you off the edge if you're not paying attention to him.
All right. Let's hit a couple of phone calls here. Tyrone in Delaware, you're in the playbook. Hey, Tyrone.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Yeah, I wanna talk a little bit. Would I be able to talk a little bit about another game in particular?
Well, like what in particular?
Oh, well, I was gonna talk about the way I was at the Baltimore Denver game.
Okay.
Right. Wait, is this section asking a question to the your guest?
Sure.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to call back another time then.
Well, you can call back whenever you want, but I mean, if you want to ask the question, just ask the question.
Oh, okay. Well, I want to know, right, because I was at the game at Baltimore and Denver, and I asked, I have a couple Baltimore Ravens fans, and I asked them which offense they would rather face. And all of them said to a man, they'll rather face New England's offense because Denver have couple people that he can't cover. And I this is going back to what I've been saying, because they have about 5 or 6 teams that have a front four that in order for us to win the Super Bowl, we'll have to face. And the blueprint to beat the Patriots is there. Bannon on the upside, outside, and bracket some of the guys. And they had a play in particular, what I've been saying all along, with Deion Branch when he was singled up in the middle of the field, and the guy was right on him. The guy was on him, and Brady threw the ball, but it was incomplete because Branch, you know, he don't have no separation in order to give Brady a bigger window to throw the ball to.
Where are we going then with this? What's your question?
What I'm saying is because when Baltimore played Denver and Decker had the same type of play. The middle of the field was wide open because the safety was bracketing. I think Thomas, he got the separation, and Peyton Manning threw the touchdown. And as soon as the guy hit the touchdown, one of the friends came back to me to see there. That's why we would rather face New England, you guys' offense than Denver's, because you guys lack speed on the outside.
Okay.
And this is the major problem we've been having. And until we solve that problem, it'll be the same thing.
All right, let's see if we let Field answer some of that.
Let's examine a couple of things here. Who leads the NFL in scoring right now? Which offense?
I understand New England.
The Patriots, 37 points per game. I can't think that anybody would have an argument to say that the Patriots have been slowed down by somebody this year. Are there ways that might work more effectively? Sure, but teams have tried to do what you talked about. Single up on the outside and bracket guys on the inside, and it hasn't worked. The Patriots are putting up 30-plus points pretty much every game this year. So I'm not sure that you can make a definitive argument that you would want to face. I think if I were an opposing team, the idea of having to cover Gronkowski, Hernandez, Lloyd, and Welker is scarier to me than having to face Decker and Thomas, pretty much Denver's two most reliable receiving options. You know, Brandon Stokley's been a good player too, but if he's your third option versus the Patriots' third option, maybe being Nana Hernandez, that's just my take. And I understand I see this team every week, so it's different. But, you know, I don't think that there's a reason for Baltimore fans or other fans to feel much better about facing Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning.
Yeah, it's not the quarterback per se, but again, the problem is, again, it was evident in the 49ers game. It was so evident.
When the Patriots had 34 points, though, right?
Yeah, but let's kind of be honest with that. Olden Smith, he was out. And like I said, and on top of that, let's be honest again.
So was Gronk, though, right? Isn't the Patriots' second-best offensive player out, and they put 34 up against the best defense in football?
Yeah, but just like the Texans, to me, they went to more of a zone instead of a man. And when they went back to that man, where we tied the game, and they went back to the game plan, we didn't score again a field goal. And again, the same thing happened. The other wide receivers on the outside couldn't get any separation, and Brady had no time to throw the ball to. And again, if we're going to be facing the top five, because it's a couple teams. Seattle got that front four that could give you problems. Pittsburgh is another one, but we don't know. San Francisco and say the Texans. Again, you just said it just a while ago that I'm not too thrilled to see Texans again. Because we remember what happened when we blew out the Jets a couple of years ago and what happened in playoffs. So I'm not even too thrilled to see them again. And again, that's all an Achilles heel. And it's not hard to understand that, these guys, if you won and won, you got to win that matchup or else Brady will get sacked. And that's what's been going on for the last couple of years. It's the same old, same old.
Okay.
You got to face one of the top defenses to win the Super Bowl.
I mean, we will
have to beat one of them guys.
Sure, okay. You're going to have to beat good teams in the playoffs. I think the argument of the Patriots not being able to win on the outside is a little bit oversimplified. I mean, I think last 2 weeks, Brandon Lloyd's got 287 yards receiving, and he's operating basically from the outside. You know, if San Francisco was playing a lot of man-to-man, it didn't seem to work against Brandon Lloyd last week. I just think that to assume this Patriots offense, there's some sort of kryptonite for it, other than turning the football over and doing things to hurt itself, I don't think we've seen it yet consistently for 60 minutes.
I don't think we have. No, not at all. Tyrone, thanks for the call. Here's Melvin in Tennessee. Melvin, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Good, Melvin.
Well, like I said, I guess I agree cold-heartedly that facing Gronkowski and all the options that we have is a lot scarier than seeing just those two receivers that Denver has. I think our offense is, pretty proficient, and, I'm not really concerned about that. But as far as getting back to the other point of saying that, are you going to rest them or play them?
Right.
I think it's no doubt that you're going to have to play some of these guys. I would not be shocked completely if Denver loses the game. They can go to sleep. They're human too. So, they can not pay attention to a game. And they've had a lot of slow starts throughout the season.
Sure.
So just a difference now is they're winning those slow starts instead of losing them like they did in the beginning. So, people like Stephen Ridley lost his confidence over these last couple of weeks. He needs to run the ball, be effective, get his confidence back. Maybe Hernandez is a little banged up, lost his confidence a little bit. So he had a lot of drops.
Right.
So he needs to get back going. Chandler Jones completely going irrelevant over these last couple of weeks after the injury. Needs to get back, get him a sack, get him back going. So I think you need to play some of these guys. But anybody that's dealing with injuries, I don't, let's say Brandon Spikes or people like that, that's going to be, I don't know about putting Rivera out there, but I think there's another option with that. Maybe get him, maybe play him some or find some reasonable substitutes that maybe you can put in there. But other than that, I think they need to get their confidence back and get a little, be a little bit more effective. It seems like that we had the same issue last year when I think Brady came off of a game. I think he had a shoulder injury, and I think we were really trying to figure out what Stephen Ridley was. Is he the back? And I think we played Miami. I'm pretty sure it's Miami, and we gave Ridley the ball a lot. And, you know, I think Brady had to end eventually go out and start throwing the football. So hopefully we're not in that same situation and really can get that going and, you know, run the ball, be more effective. But,
all right, let me tackle something here, though, because sort of along a couple of things that you said there, Melvin. Field, what would you do in the case of Stephen Ridley right now after you put the ball on the turf a couple of times and, you know, and clearly got in the doghouse and then got put back into the game, and, you know, and obviously Shane Vereen fumbled at once, didn't reappear. What do you do in this particular instance? What should the team do? What do you think?
This isn't 2011, a remix version of it. You can't just basically say, Stephen Ridley, you fumbled twice, you're no longer a part of the offensive game plan, which is what happened to him after the divisional round last year against Denver. He did not carry the ball in the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. Things are different. This guy's been too good and too critical. What I do think is fair to ask of Stephen Ridley is to earn the trust back. You know, I'm not saying the Patriots need to cut him out or limit him to five carries, but maybe you find a way to incorporate other guys, whether it's a Brandon Bolden, Danny Woodhead again. They need to. Stephen Ridley needs to show that he can be trusted, and whether that's in practice or whether it's in a 15 or 18 carry game this weekend, you know, you have to keep riding with him. I mean, he is your best running back. You need him down the stretch, so you can't avoid
it. I don't think his fumbles have been exorbitant. What I would tell you is that I think that he probably hasn't fumbled really any more than, say, other backs that the Patriots have had, you know, like Corey Dillon and such.
Right.
What I would tell you is that I think that, you know, here's a guy that's got 1,000 yards for you when you really weren't sure what you were going to get, because this is his first year as the guy in the backfield. And so unless all of a sudden he shows a penchant for leaving the ball on the turf, let's say he fumbles twice more this week, now you might want to think about it a little bit, because clearly it's in his head. But at the same time, he's brought you this far. I don't know why you don't, you know, say, all right, look, you know, we'll take some measures here to try to, you know, keep this from happening again. But, you know, pat him on the rump and get him back out there.
That's right. You got to have this guy. He's part of your offense. You know, if you don't have him, he is your best every down option. So I think that absolutely you have to keep him in there. I think it's fair, though, to say that he's got to prove it.
Yeah, true.
So, yep.
But everybody has to prove it.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's something else that's kind of funny about it, that, of course, we had this issue last year. Is it the weather? Is it the, you know, he's from, I don't know where he's from previously, but he was in LSU where they probably didn't have to deal with the cold, rainy, cold. I mean, he was having these fumble problems at the end of last year. Is it the weather contributing to it? Is it, I don't know. It's just a lot of things that could be contributing to his, I guess, this time of the year, or maybe he's banged up, or, you know, just of him losing the football. I really think it could really be the weather just making that transition and going up there.
Yeah, it could have been. It could have been.
But you never really know. But whatever it is, yeah, like you said, the trust, the confidence of himself and everything else, he needs to get it back going, and we're going to have a really good playoff run.
Yeah.
We're going to need him.
Right. I would agree with that, Melvin. All right. Thanks, buddy.
All right. See you later.
All right. Appreciate it. Melvin in Tennessee, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. That's the number to call, 508-298-0398. Play him or sit him. It's that simple. The Patriots are probably, and I would say there's an excellent opportunity here for them to have to make this decision. Play him or sit him over the course of the next week to 2 weeks here as we approach the end of the regular season. Jacksonville this week, Miami for the final week, and then, of course, the wild card playoff round. And if you don't get into the playoffs as a one of the first two seeds, you will be playing on that wild card weekend. It'll be here at home, but you'll still need to be playing, and you don't get a chance to rest some of the walkie wounded. And, well, you probably know all the reasons behind that. So that's why we're asking you the question, because are you a play him or a sit him kind of person? And why? 508-298-0398. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. John.Rook on Facebook. And the Facebook page has been kind of quiet. So get it going. At JR Broadcaster, Twitter. Ready, set, go.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Welcome to Dunkin' Donuts.
I need some of Dunkin's delicious packaged coffee.
Sure, how many do you need?
One for everybody on my holiday shopping list.
Wow, so that's why you brought a wheelbarrow.
Give the gift everyone loves to get. Delicious Dunkin' Donuts packaged coffee. Get 2 pounds for just $12.99. Available only at Dunkin' restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'. plus applicable taxes. Single pound sold at regular price. Offer excludes 8-ounce packages. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Play them or sit them, kind of what we're talking about today here inside the playbook. It's a decision the Patriots are going to have to make. And they may have to make it even as soon as this week, or I would say by the first part of next week, before we get to the Christmas holiday. By the way, Kevin, what are we doing for Christmas next week? Are we taking Christmas Day off?
We have no shows on Tuesday. We have Patriots Monday on Monday, which
right.
is Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve.
Then no shows Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
So it'll be like a replay.
Right.
And then shows Wednesday, Thursday.
So we'll have Wednesday and Thursday in the playbook next week.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure. That way, you know.
As much as I don't want to do it.
Why? It's the last game.
Yeah, but we'll have playoffs and stuff. I don't know. I just feel like.
You're looking forward to the
playoffs.
I feel
like one day for Christmas, it's just tough. I feel like you need more than one day.
Do we need more than one day?
I feel like I do, personally.
Yeah? Okay.
But that's just me. I feel like I need. The day after Christmas is always like, it's just a hard day.
You have to try to recoup a little bit. I think I want to spend some time on that tomorrow show.
You got to clean the house. I mean, if you're hosting Christmas, which my family does, there's a lot to do. You got to clean the house up.
I cooked last Christmas. Did you know that? I cooked.
I'm not surprised.
For my girlfriend and her family.
You're
a man of many
skills and talents.
I cooked. It was a lot of fun. This
you
year,
put
though.
A lot of hot sauce in whatever you cooked?
I actually did not. And the reason that I did not is because I don't think everybody has the same, taste buds as I do.
Not everyone has such a distinguished palate. That's what Eric would say.
Well, my family accuses me of my palate being burnt to a crisp because of all the Tabasco I ate
it's
when I was
Texas
younger. I realize that.
But I just mean, it's just like the day after Christmas, there's a lot to take in. You know, Christmas is such a busy day.
You almost need a day off from the day.
It's just a busy day.
Kind of like a holiday, kind of like a vacation. You need a vacation day from the vacation.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, you know, you got Patriots Friday, which goes till 6 on Christmas Eve.
Right.
So then it's like I got to rush down to Plymouth, go to Mass later that night.
What a good Catholic boy you are.
And then you got to, you know, you wake up early and, you know, my mom, like, she's like drill sergeant. You got to wake up early. You got to get the gifts out of the way, Kevin, right? You got to get them out of the way because we got to clean the house and get everything all set up and get all the cooking done and all that because everyone comes over. And then you got to clean up all, you know, after that. And it's just like, so my beef is I don't really get to see, like, my immediate family, mom, dad, sister, all that much during that actual day other than the morning because you're so busy running around with, you know, the 25 other people in your house and you're trying to make sure they're comfortable and they got drinks and they got food and you're trying to be social to all of them and they all want to know about, like, what you're doing because they only see you once a year, especially when you're in this business. So it's
true.
It's just like one of those things where you just need it almost doesn't feel like a day off. You need a day off to just kind of go, take in the tree for a minute and sit there and drink a glass of eggnog.
Yeah, I get it. You put a little something in the eggnog?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Just to have a little something, a little kick in there.
That's what I thought. Okay. I thought so too. I want to talk about this tomorrow, though.
Yeah.
Because we were talking
we'll get into some traditions,
and
all that stuff.
Yeah, like best and worst gifts, things like that.
We'll have fun tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to do that tomorrow. So we're going to do that in the playbook. So if you got good Christmas gift ideas and you got really bad Christmas gift ideas or things that you'd like to share with your fellow fans that you really got and you're like was just totally not worth your time. Tomorrow will be the day to share.
I'll load some carols in. So coming in and
nice.
Out, we'll have some carols and maybe, you know, favorite Christmas songs and music can be a topic.
That's
we can
a
have
great
all sorts
idea.
Of stuff.
All right. Well, you can't be a Christmas unless you have Andy Williams' White Christmas.
Yeah, that's a classic. Okay?
You have to have that one. Okay. So that has to be on the playlist tomorrow. No matter what we do, that has to be in the playlist.
Maybe a little Bing Crosby.
I would like a little
classic.
Yeah.
There's There's all sorts of good stuff.
There's some good ones. All right. That'll be tomorrow in the playbook on Thursday. So that'll be our pre-Christmas edition, because we will be taking Christmas Day off next week before the Miami game. And then we'll be back with you actually a week from today. We'll do Wednesday and Thursday shows next week in anticipation of the final game.
Another nitpick Wednesday.
Yes, it'll be a nitpick Wednesday. Hopefully it won't be too much to nitpick about. If you don't stub your toe this week, there won't be anything to nitpick about. Although, it is sort of along the lines of what we've been talking about today, because if the Patriots do stub their toe, then you have to wonder whether or not it's really worth it for them to play any starters at all against the Dolphins in the final regular season game. And that also speaks to a bigger issue, I might add. Because let's say the Patriots, you know, throw up the egg and lose this week. What does that do to your tickets? If you're holding tickets for that game against Miami here at Gillette, you paid ostensibly to see Tom Brady and Vince Wilfork and the stars play. And what if they don't? See, this is why, this is the same question that is asked every year going into those preseason games before the season starts. And we don't really get a chance to talk about it because this show doesn't start until the regular season starts. But it's a legitimate question. You shouldn't be charging full value for tickets for a product that you have no hope of receiving full return. Now, I can understand why you got to buy these tickets beforehand, and many of you do. If you've got a regular season game or season ticket holder or what have you, then you have a reasonable expectation to think that, hey, I'm going to get to see everybody that we're supposed to see. I'm going to see the stars play, and I'm going to, you know, get my money's worth for the money that I've just paid for these tickets. But if the situation breaks down to the point where this team actually has nothing to play for next week, which is part of the reason why I asked the question today, because then the issue becomes moot next week, then aren't you getting gypped?
Yeah, I think I have 2 points, I think, on this. One is, if you're a season ticket holder, I think the Patriots have this great program called the Ticket Exchange.
Yes.
So you can basically give your seats back to the box office, and they look to sell them to other people for face value. So you get what you paid back if you don't want to go to that game. That's one solution or idea that you could do.
Boy, there'd be a lot of tickets returned if they lose. If they lose this Sunday in Jacksonville, they may set a record for tickets returned.
Yeah, and excuse me. But that's one thing I can come up with off the top of my head if you're actually in that position. Another thing is, and I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, no, I think this is good.
So we're having an open, you know,
right,
debate.
Yeah.
So just to play devil's advocate, you can make the argument that, you know, if that game is meaningless and it's not a coveted ticket, then I would say a lot of people that ordinarily may not be able to come to a game, whether it's for financial reasons mostly because the tickets are too expensive,
sure,
or they're just simply too hard to get because, you know, we have a long waiting list here for season tickets. You know, maybe it gives those people a chance, and maybe it's not the greatest game in the world, but it's better than a preseason game. It's a regular season game. Maybe it gives those people a chance they wouldn't ordinarily have to get in here. And I'm just playing devil's advocate on that.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's, you know, John Rook and his season tickets, giving them away to Tiny Tim at Christmas time, or, you know, you're donating them to a charitable foundation that helps kids come to games, or you have a neighbor that, you know, you want to help out, that, you know, hasn't been to a game, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's around
give
the
somebody
holidays,
else a chance to go.
Holidays, so it's
yeah.
a good spirit,
yeah.
you know, in the Christmas spirit or in the holiday spirit to do. So I'm just playing devil's advocate. Those are just a couple ideas of ways that people can either get their money back or maybe help somebody out who doesn't ordinarily get a chance to go.
That's all good stuff. It's good information to know. Hopefully it's information that we won't need to know, because the Patriots, you know, if they can win Sunday, then mathematically, they'd still have an opportunity to play with a win the following Sunday here against Miami to play into a bye situation. They obviously need some help, as we've talked about. But at the same time, though, mathematically, they would be alive for that scenario, and you're not alive if you lose. So you got to win first, and first things first, and it's got to be this Sunday in Jacksonville. Ryan sends this on Facebook. He says, hey, John, if you can, would you swap Welker and Lloyd for the Broncos, Thomas and Decker? I would in a heartbeat, but I have a few people here that think it's insane. What do you think? Welker and Lloyd for Thomas and Decker. Well, first of all, you'd have to have a willing party, right? There's no way the Broncos are going to make that because they had Lloyd. I'm going to guess, Ryan, that you're a big Demaryius Thomas fan. And because of that, I can see why you would probably want to make that. But considering what you have in Wes Welker and Mr. Reliable. And I guess you're trying to compare him to Decker. I'm not making that deal. I don't think it's insane. It's actually an interesting scenario. And I'll have to admit, it's one that I have never, safely, never considered. But I'd have to say that, no, I don't think I would. I think Wes Welker has been too valuable. I think Brandon Lloyd, for his penchant for, you know, not getting yards after the catch and going down relatively quickly on a lot of plays, I think that's what they've asked of him. You know, they want him to run the out routes. He's not big and physical like Demaryius Thomas, but I think he gives you other things. I mean, on the sidelines, I think that Brandon Lloyd I think he's on a level all to himself. I think he knows his footwork. I think he knows his feet. He knows how to pull the grab in. I think Brandon Lloyd has been invaluable where that's concerned. So when you couple that with Welker's ability to get open and largely be money, except for the drops that we've complained about already here on the show over the last few weeks, I still don't think that I would make that deal. It's an interesting question, Ryan, and I thank you for asking it. But I, your friends that think you're insane, no, I don't think it's insanity. I just don't think that I'd do it. Rashad sends this on Twitter. What do you think of Wilfork's play? He's been very good this year. No question about that. And Vince Wilfork has been, and I've said this probably 2 or 3 weeks ago here in the program, I think Wilfork has been the unsung MVP of this team, where as Tom Brady gets all of the attention, and perhaps rightfully so, Vince Wilfork has kept the defensive unit together through its struggles early in the year, and now I think a lot of the play around him has risen or is rising to his level of play. And this is a case of a player on the team making all of the others around him better, kind of like a Michael Jordan, kind of like a Larry Bird, kind of like a Magic Johnson. And I know I'm using basketball parlance here, but that's what those guys did better than anybody else in their era. Joe Montana was like that as a quarterback. I think Tom Brady has been like that as a quarterback. You don't see that from defenders as much, but I think Wilfork is that kind of guy. And then Rashad says, I think you keep going with Ridley, because we were talking about this with Field Yates in the last hour. I think you keep going with Ridley because you don't have anyone else that is an every down back. Perhaps, Rashad, but here's the thing. I think they've also thought that Shane Vereen could be that guy, and yet Vereen has been troubled by injuries. Caused him basically to miss his entire rookie year. And he's been kind of hot and cold, and he has been banged up a little bit this year. And when he has been healthy, he's dropped the ball. I don't know how much more of a chance Shane Vereen's going to get. But to an extent, you're right. They don't really have anybody else that's an every down back, so you got to kind of ride with Ridley. And then Blake also sends this on Twitter. If they won't drop in rank, the Pats should split snaps like a preseason game. Give Mallett a chance to shine. Well, that is, if they can't get any better or they can't get any worse, should they lose this Sunday in Jacksonville, then, yeah, I would have to tend to agree. Yeah, they should probably split snaps like a preseason game. And I think that sucks for people who hold tickets because you expect to see a little bit better product out there. But it is what it is. You didn't realize that you were going to be put in this position. And you do want your healthiest team available for the playoffs. So I think you probably have to go out there and try to beat Miami with maybe playing your starters for a half. And then you probably let them rest and try to win the game if you have to. Certainly you're going to get a chance to find out what a guy like Ryan Mallett would give you at quarterback if you actually let him play an entire meaningful, and I've got quotations around that word, meaningful half of NFL football. Some food for thought, but very good questions by you. Very, very good questions. All right, let's. We got Alvin in Texas on the line here. Alvin, you're in the playbook. What's up?
Oh, hi, Ron. I mean, don't. I was gonna first tell you that congratulations on your son. You know, he got a scholarship.
Thank you very much.
On the Facebook.
I appreciate that, Alvin.
My main concern, but I mean, I don't know if it's a rumor or this is a fact. Is John, Josh McDaniel, is he leaving us for the Browns, or that's just a rumor?
Well, it's his name has been brought up in the conversation. For those that might be unaware, he's been brought up in conversation for a potential job as Cleveland's head coach should Cleveland change management spots. I don't think they've done anything yet, based on what I read right before I came on the air here today, and I haven't seen The Wire in the last hour and a half, so I can't update you as much just because I've been trying to concentrate here on the show, but I believe it's an if possibility. If so-and-so moves into Cleveland, that Josh would be a candidate to come in as head coach. But no, he's still here for the time being. And frankly, I got to admit, I wouldn't be surprised at that, because I think we all realize that some of the better coaches, including our own Bill Belichick, struggled initially in their first jobs as a head coach. Remember Coach Belichick in Cleveland, for instance. And like Josh struggled a bit, you know, after his initial six games in Denver, he kind of had it handed to him. So he's had a chance now to come in, learn under the master again, so to speak, get a different perspective on how to handle things, especially when it comes to doing things like handling the media and handling questions and handling pressure. And I generally think that if you're a coach worth your salt, you take more into the equation, and you have a tendency to not let the little things bother you as much as maybe you did the first time around. And so I think Josh does have an opportunity to be a better coach should somebody take a chance at him. And the more success that the Patriots have with this offense, you're going to see somebody in fairly short order. And I don't know if it'll be this next year or the year after. Somebody will definitely give Josh another shot.
What do you think about Lloyd? I mean, he's just picking up now the pace. I'm just surprised. I'm amazed that he got 1,000 yards now.
Well, I'm not surprised. I think what he's done is he's shown you that he's got very good hands. He's got the ability, as I said earlier, to run superb out routes. He runs routes to the point where I think the once or twice this last Sunday against San Francisco, where the defensive back didn't even turn for the ball because he was watching Brandon. And Brandon was very good at being a decoy, because he and Tom Brady have worked on these sideline routes to the point where Brandon knows the ball's going to be in his hands the second he turns for it. And that's what happened. And some of those passes were just indefensible. And that's a tribute to Brady and Lloyd working together on each knowing where the other's got to be to make that play work.
And some friend from Facebook posted this, and he asked San Francisco fans, what do they think? They don't want to face the New England Patriots. And I'm truly honest, I don't think nobody wants to face him in the playoffs.
I can't imagine, Alvin. Yeah, I can't imagine, Alvin, that anybody in their right mind with a team that scores 34, 35, 36, 37 points a game on offense, why would you be comfortable with that? Even San Francisco has to realize, okay, hey, we just beat New England, but they were without Rob Gronkowski. And they did and the Patriots did turn the ball over four times. And we still barely beat them.
That's what I love about the New England Patriots. I was just going to say about that favorite number 12.
Yeah?
I was going to say, remember that back then you were talking about our favorite number 12? Oh, it's Tom Brady, but my favorite number 12 of all time, I used to root for the Toronto Blue Jays, Robbie Alomar.
Okay. Yeah, Robbie Alomar. Yeah, that's actually a pretty good one, a number 12 that it really didn't occur to us that day.
That's what I liked about that player. But all right, Ron, John. You take care. Right?
Thanks, Alvin.
We'll talk about it later, man.
All right. Talk to you later. Alvin in Texas. Passionate fan, Alvin in Texas, without too much doubt about that, huh? Let me see. What else do I have here? Let me get to the emails, because I know I've got a few of those here. Here we go. This one comes from Scott in Houston. He says, John, I've been hearing a lot of shooting down of Stephen Ridley. I think that all this talk about him not being able to hold on to the ball will light a fire under his belly, and he will perform on his A game. I think he'll bounce back, and bounce back hard, that is, if Bill Belichick allows him to. Depending on how Week 16 plays out with Houston and Denver, I would not play Brandon Spikes, Love, Dennard, Mankins, Gronk, Welker, Vollmer, Brady for the last game against Miami at Gillette. Kind of like a semi-bye. Let those guys rest up, get healthy. Also, last week, I predicted a 34-17 victory. It was right on the 34. So close to winning that yearbook. Well, not really, because you were 24 points away from San Francisco. So, no, you were not close. And he says, also, take that, Eric, the man who said no touchdowns would be scored this game. Yeah, I know. Well, Eric did comment on that a little bit earlier, Scott. But thank you for that anyway. All right, so here's one for Sidham, or Restum, if you will. Again, if you just join us or you join us late, we're talking play him or rest him. Play him or rest him if you lose this Sunday at Jacksonville. Now, I realize most of you think that's probably a ridiculous thing to think about, because it's just not going to happen, right? Well, I would tell you that that's why they play the games. The Jacksonville, at least as far as I just looked, is still a member of the NFL. They still have some solid offensive talent that has burnt the Patriots in the past when they, albeit, have been with other teams. If a guy like running back. Kevin's not paying attention.
What are we talking about?
Running back for Jacksonville.
Maurice Jones-Drew.
Thank you. Maurice Jones-Drew.
MJD64.
Hello. MJD64. Yeah, that's right. MJD64. If he's fully able to play, and I believe he approached that discussion on the conference call. We may get to that here in a couple of moments. But if he's able to play, then you actually have a running game. And last year's leading rusher in the NFL to complement two outstanding young receivers. And we know that Chad Henne has had success in the past. So I'm not going to jump the gun, and I'm not going to try to preach to you that, hey, I really think Jacksonville has a chance here. No, they shouldn't have a chance. Because the Patriots should probably put up 35 or 40 on them without too much of a difficulty. But if you turn the ball over, if you continue the trend that you started on Sunday, you've got to show that that was an aberration. And you still got to go out and perform. And everybody still has to go out there and do their job. And if you forget that you have to go out and perform, that's when you let a team like Jacksonville hang around, and that's when a team like that can steal it from you. And that's precisely what happened against Seattle earlier this year. And I think Seattle has proven to be a pretty decent team since that time. Who knows, though? The Patriots game might have been the impetus for that. It might have been. You just can't take a chance. So that's why we kind of talk about it today, because I would think that, yeah, if you go out there and you fiddle around a little bit, then the Jacksonville game is losable. It is a road game. And then what do you do? And that's what we're talking about. I want to give you a chance to sound off on it. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. John.Rook on Facebook, R-O-O-K-E is the last name. Submit the friend request if you haven't done it this year. And then you can chat and post, and we can talk about all Patriots things anytime you like, especially right here live during the show. Love the little chat function. That's also pretty cool. And then you can hit me up on Twitter. At JR Broadcaster is the Twitter handle. All right, Kev, let's sneak in one more quick timeout. We're going to come back and finish up with some emails. Got time for phone calls. Got time to hear from you. Play them or rest them in the playbook.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more.
Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
On the home stretch here for Patriots Playbook on this Wednesday, working our way until 4 o'clock, Cold Hard Football Facts with Kerry Byrne to follow here at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. And then, of course, we'll be back at it again tomorrow here at 2 p.m. Eastern. Russell Baxter will be amongst the guests to join us on tomorrow's show. All right, let me get a couple of things taken care of here. First of all, on Facebook, Michael says the Patriots should play their starters this week. They need to stay ready. Well, definitely this week. They got to play them this week, Michael, because you still have a mathematical chance, if not still a very good chance, to play for a bye. So this week really wasn't entering into the equation. Perhaps you misunderstood. I'm talking about next week. We're not going to get a chance to talk about this on Tuesday because it was Christmas Day. We won't have a show here on Christmas Day. So we'll probably jump into the Dolphins, and I'm sure that it will be a topic of conversation next week, especially if this team loses. That's the whole issue here. He says they need to stay ready, be in the mindset, be physical, challenge themselves. I do not subscribe to the rest them theory. Over time, it has shown it does not work well. The league has tough players, and any team can beat another. Being ready is the best way to win. Cannot argue with that way of thinking at all. That way of thinking probably is what has won way more many games. Way more games. Way more many. Won more games than has lost them over time. So I would subscribe that, sure, if you are still mathematically alive for a potential bye, and they should be if they win on Sunday, regardless of what happens, they still have a chance to potentially play for the 2 seed. Unless Houston also loses, then the 1 is also still in play. Then you have to play with full guns blazing against Miami on the 30th here at Gillette. You have to. If you lose Sunday, it's a completely different story, because you're going to be the 3 of the 4. You might really even be the 4. And then, is it going to benefit you? I tend to doubt it. And so that's what we're getting at here. That's what we're kind of looking at overall. All right, let's get back to some emails as well. Webradio@patriots.com is the address. This one comes from Brian, and he says, I had a question I tried posing to the dingbats at PFW, but they got busy with their stupid back and forth over where Fred places the Pats in the AFC. And then spent 15 minutes wasting time whining about it. So I'll ask you, okay, where did Fred place him in the AFC? We know that the Pats can control the environment inside the bubble with ease. And by the way, in case anybody wants to know, I still put the Pats number one in the AFC. They've beaten both Houston and Denver. They've three of their four losses are to NFC teams. And they're ahead of Baltimore in the standings, at least right this second. So I would put the Patriots at number one in the AFC. All right, that having been said, he says, we know the Pats can control the environment inside the bubble with ease. However, given we know how much you can improve much of your cardio practicing and playing in Denver, do you think the Pats should attempt to increase the tech behind the bubble to reflect the oxygen level? Seems like you could remove Denver's advantage by doing this, as well as increasing the ability of the Pats' offense and defense to function at a high level for the entire game. I mean, going from a Denver-style atmosphere and then just playing regularly in New England or other states that don't have the high altitude would essentially mean the Pats could run no huddle at all times, and the defense could play against a no-huddle offense at will. I don't know, in all honesty, Brian, I don't know if they have the capability of doing that. I mean, do we have the ability to go inside that bubble? Unless it's pressurized, and I think the roof is inflated, but I don't know if it's pressurized from within and how much it is. And if it is, I don't know if you can actually control the oxygen level. I don't know the answer to that. Smarter minds know the answer to that than mine, but that might be something to tackle tomorrow. So here's what we should do, Brian. Let's table this. Do me a favor, though, because a lot of times they clean out the email inbox from day to day, because as I'm sure you're aware, we get a ton of email here. So if you're listening or you're listening later, send this question back again tomorrow. We'll pose this to Eric and see what we can find out. And I'll also pose this to Kevin, and we'll see what we can find out for you. All right. A lot of other things that are on here that he was commenting on about yesterday's show. He didn't get a chance to comment. And I'm just going to paraphrase here as we were talking about the tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut. And I don't really want to jump back into it. I felt like I said what I needed to say, and it's kind of time to move on here. I don't say that in a crass way at all. I'm still hurting like a lot of people over the shock factor of what happened last Friday in Newtown, Connecticut. Last night, college basketball game that I did, Providence College took an unusual step and got away from their black and white jerseys, and they wore green jerseys. They got Nike to make some green jerseys for them, green uniforms for the first time, school colors of Sandy Hook Elementary, which was kind of cool. And then they blocked off 26 seats in one of the end zones and put a large banner and flowers in each of the seat for each one of the victims, you know, in a sign of support and solidarity. I thought it was a kind of a cool way for the sports world to show that, hey, you know what, there are just some things bigger in life, and that we're spending some time thinking about you, and we hope that somehow, some way, through God's will, you are able to overcome this. For those especially who are survivors of what happened on Friday. Anyway, I'm going to paraphrase quickly because Brian did take some time to write. Any new gun legislation should include a retroactive ban on said weapons. It's the only way. It should also come with absolutely ridiculous penalties and jail time for those who think they can just keep it locked away and the government will never know. Start with a weapons registry. Go to house to get them. Government should reimburse any citizen for the money spent on the item, including accessories. New laws that hold the gun owner and seller accountable if their weapon is used in a crime. Make the prospect of your weapon being used in a crime so costly in fines and jail time, no one will want to risk it. Now, there's a part of me, Brian, that abhors what you just wrote, because our very Constitution, our very existence as Americans was built on our ability to hone a weapon. But, you know, what are we talking about? We're not talking about the 1700s around here anymore. It's a different day and age. And I do think that we are way past the time now for automatic weapons to be banned. And yes, probably also retroactively, as much as it pains me to say that. I don't know about the manhunt going house to house. I think you're getting into the whole Big Brother aspect that, you know, the government does not need to get into. I think you're going to have to allow American citizens to do their duty. And if they don't do their duty and they do get caught with a weapon like that, then they've got to pay the price. It's that simple. It's that simple. So I don't know what else to say other than, you know, you try to make it retroactive. You give people who own automatic weapons a chance to turn them in and get something in return for it so they're not out the dough. But I don't think you can go on a witch hunt. And that, to me, would amount to a witch hunt. I just don't think it can happen. But I appreciate that you took the time to listen to my thoughts from Tuesday's show and then also to send a comment on it. Sean in Vancouver, British Columbia says, Rook, you play to win the game. Thanks, Coach. You play to win the game. The only way New England would be out of contention for getting a bye would be if they lose in Jacksonville. I'll be rooting for them to win this weekend as well as rooting for Cleveland and Minnesota. And then we'll see what happens next week. But I think the Patriots' general philosophy is to play to win. They don't rest if the game has any significance. Sometimes they don't even rest starters in meaningless games, like in 2010 against the Texans. Yeah, didn't we learn that the hard way? All right, so I would not feel good about New England in the playoffs coming off a three-game losing streak. I also think it's a bit of a ripoff for the fans attending the game. You paid good money to see Brady, Welker, Mayo, and so forth. He says, go Pats, and oh yeah, go Vikings, and really go Browns. I think, Sean, you and I are a lot alike on this one. I just don't see any way that unless you're completely out of contention for getting a bye, I just don't know how you could just throw people out there and just say, okay, you know what, we're going to rest guys. I just, you know, if you got something to play for, you play for it. You got to play like it's yours. I mean, to me, that just, like I mentioned this earlier with Eric in the opening hour of the program today, this speaks to the very integrity of the game. Why would you want to tank it? It's not a good, honest effort. And for those that pay to see the games, you want to see the best you can possibly see. You're paying good money to see it. Now, if the Patriots don't have a mathematical chance of improving their lot, then common sense has to come into play. And you probably want to make sure that for the games that really count, you've got as much health as you can get. Then you risk the chance, obviously, you risk the chance of going into the playoffs with a three-game losing streak, as, again, we talked about earlier, and that is not an optimum situation. I don't know. That's hard for me to envision. I think you probably have to play the starters in that situation until you have at least a touchdown or two touchdown lead, which will probably take them into the fourth quarter anyway. And then, okay, at what point is it superfluous? I mean, you know, if you played them that far, you've already run the risk of getting injured. Are you really running that much for more of a risk if you keep them in the game? I don't know. But there is a part of me, and someone said this earlier, an emailer said this earlier, there's a part of me that would love to see Ryan Mallett in a somewhat meaningful game to know what we might really have. But, yeah, I think the bottom line is we agree, and that is you got to play them. As long as there's something to play for, you got to play them. Bad Kevin. John, if you have a chance at the number 2 seed, you play them. I know it's an outside shot, but you and I both know that Bill will play them if there is any chance to get that bye. You can look back and see teams that have sat guys week 17 and then they just get killed in the wild card round. I want my guys on the field. The argument, of course, is Welker versus Texas, or Houston, as it was, as we just mentioned, but that is rare. Oh, and our offense is much better than it was the year he got hurt. Keep the momentum rolling as long as you can. One more thing I had to miss yesterday. I have a nitpick. Ed Hockley. That guy needs to shut the bleep up. He is one of those guys that love to hear their own voice. I loved it when he tried to hush the crowd. He's a great official, but shut up. You know, that was a nitpick that actually, believe it or not, Kevin, escaped us yesterday, and I'm a little surprised that it did. And I think it's because it's gone from the ridiculous to the sublime. He feels like he needs to explain to us why. On clearly some calls that, you know, were questionable. And to me, I think that kind of erodes from his credibility, doesn't it? I mean, you know, he's the official out there. How can he, you know, make a call that we all see that's completely different. Now, based on the rules, if it's a rules interpretation, that's different. But if it's because they just blew a call, which a couple of them were, by the way, he and his crew did not have a strong night. And then as far as trying to hush the crowd, I kind of agree with you. He was asking for trouble. Yeah, I think I'm a little past Ed Hockley and some of his mic time there. Here's a guy that, you know, kind of like a couple of other officials in the NFL, referees in the NFL. Gene Steratore is one of them. I'm not sure that they really don't seek the attention. Just a thought. But yeah, I would think Ed Hockley and that crew in particular would have to be a bit of a nitpick. There was a pretty good, you remember a moment in the second half when Brady went absolutely nuts on a back job, a back judge. I think it was a deep ball. Gosh, who was it for? Was it for Welker? Yeah, he was running a mid route over the middle. He got bumped, ball sailed over the head, and Brady absolutely lit into the back judge on the play. And frankly, a flag probably should have been called. And I think it wasn't a bump. I think it was a hold is what it was. And we should have had defensive holding called on the play, but the back judge just blew it. I don't know what he was looking at, but it was right in front of him, and he blew the call. And that was when Brady went berserk. That was not the one where he slammed the ball on the ground. But he turned around, stomped his foot, and then pointed out at the back judge. And I'm sure he had to say, "Where's the call on that one?" Yeah, that crew did not have a good game. Noel from Denver says, unless Gronk is 100%, I say, sit him. We need a 6-game win streak. Not go without him in the Super Bowl like last year. Kick Denver's bleep. All right. So you want Gronk 100%. You want the players as healthy as they can possibly be. Sounds like a Pats fan in Denver. So in this regard, then, you want to make sure that you've got the right win streak, not the wrong win streak here. And so if you got to rest him, you rest him. Fair enough. Even if you've mathematically been eliminated, have not been eliminated in this case, if you haven't been eliminated, don't you want to try to take the chance? I mean, wouldn't you really kick yourself if you have not been eliminated, you don't play your starters, and then Denver or Houston loses? Man, you're going to be kicking yourself all over the place if you had a chance to play for the bye and you don't go get it. See, to me, that's the one thing we haven't mentioned until now in the program that you probably should mention, because that's the unthinkable happening right there. David. Hi, guys. This is David from Los Angeles. I've recently started listening to all the web radio shows while at work. I'd like to say I love the shows. Thank you, David. I wanted to ask if, in the past games this year, have the Pats had any significant problems with man-on-man coverage like they did with the 49ers, or was it just an offensive problem the team can fix? Are you talking about from an offensive perspective, I assume? Man-on-man coverage. You mean the opposing defense on the Patriots receivers? I didn't really see any significant problems the other night. San Francisco has a very good defensive backfield. They've got strong safeties. They got corners that can play. They have a front seven as well that can put pressure on the passer on their own, the front four in particular, which means that on occasion, depending on the play call and the down and the distance, that their linebackers can drop into coverage, and they're pretty good at it. So that's going to make that pass secondary a little bit more difficult to defeat in man coverage. So, no, I would say that they haven't had any real significant problems, just that the 49ers are talented enough a defense to be able to play man defense on those guys and give the Patriots a little more difficulty. That's primarily where we're coming from. San Francisco has had the number one scoring defense in the NFL, about 14 points per game. They gave up 34, and yet we're still talking about their man coverage and the Patriots receivers. The Patriots lost the game again, David, simply because they messed themselves up on offense by shooting themselves in the foot and making numerous mistakes. It wasn't so much the defense's problem. They gave the defense, unfortunately, bad field position to work with. And the defense, well, I mean, how many touchdowns did San Francisco score on basically one play or, you know, no play drives? A couple. So I don't think the defense did the offense any favors on Sunday. Brooklyn Matt. Kevin, what's all this bitching and moaning about your schedule for Christmas? I don't want to hear it, Lurch. Go to Mass, schmooze with your mom's guests like they even want to hear about your year in the first place, which I highly doubt, and clean up afterwards. And then suck it up and get your fanny to Gillette the next day. Yo, you work for the mighty New England Patriots and even get to hang out on the sideline during games. It's like George Costanza getting a gig with the Yankees on Seinfeld. You have the freaking dream job and you're complaining? I don't want to hear it. And furthermore, it's Patriots playbook with John Rook, not the playbook with Kevin. Less Kevin, more Rook, please. Just kidding, he says. Merry Christmas, you big lummox complainer, you.
The whole world wants more junior broadcaster. What can I say?
Hey, I'm just relaying what Brooklyn Matt says, okay? There he goes with the junior broadcaster thing. You made me take that nickname, by the way. You twisted my arm, made me take it. JR broadcaster. It was remember we pulled the trigger on that, unfortunately, right after poor choice of words, I think. We made the move to do that right after Larry Hagman passed away. And we were talking about JR Ewing, right? Okay. I was trying to remember the context in which we did that. And it was right after Larry Hagman said that, or he had passed away, which was kind of sad, to be quite honest with you, because I think that's what we all remember, you know, the old J.R. Ewing character from the old Dallas shows. And he was actually on the remake of Dallas that had just debuted this last year. And now they've got to write him out of the script altogether again. That kind of stinks. See, I'm one of those, though, that goes way back and remembers him in I Dream of Jeannie. Now, that was a show. Barbara Eden in the Jeannie costume? Come on. Who didn't like that? All right. Do we have any more? I think we've got one more here that I want to share. Noel says, tune in late and assumed you were talking about Gronk. I say play him until you don't have a chance at a bye. Feel we can still beat Miami, giving only those who need a rest. Tiger Woods has seen what it's like not to play every day. You must stay sharp, and I still feel the Pats are the team to beat regardless of where they play. These Denver people are already giving them the Super Bowl. You know, that doesn't surprise me. And, Noel, thank you for writing back again today. Appreciate that. That does not surprise me in the least. I think Denver fans, for the most part, have been some of the biggest front-running fans that I've come across for years, dating back almost to pre-Elway days, you know, and pre-Super Bowl Elway days. They have had success with the Patriots in the past. There's no doubt about it. But it's a different makeup, and I think sometimes that can work to your favor. In this particular instance, as we've already suggested several times this year, and even on today's show, in fact, this Patriots team doesn't have the veteran presence that it's had in previous years. Therefore, these guys might not know any better, and certainly don't know any historical significance behind the fact that this team has struggled previously in Denver. They haven't been there. They don't know. So how can they react to something they don't know? It could actually work a little bit in their favor. A smidge, anyway. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. And, you know, if the Denver fans want to think that they're in the Super Bowl, that's great. God bless them. God love them. I thought that the offseason move to ditch Tebow and bring in John Elway, bring in Peyton Manning, second coming of John Elway, was a brilliant stroke of genius. Nobody thought that Peyton Manning was going to perform how he has performed, and this is why, and I wrote about it in my column on GoLocalProv.com this last week, and I'll mention it here again, and we'll probably mention it again before the season is over here. Peyton Manning, with all due respect to Tom Brady, and we love Tom around here, but Peyton Manning is probably, and no, he is, he's going to win the MVP. That is, of course, unless Adrian Peterson runs all over the Houston Texans. Because he can make a significant play for the MVP award if he rushes for, 150, 200 yards, and maybe Minnesota upsets Houston this weekend, and then I think he probably moves to the forefront of the discussion. But Peyton Manning deserves it, and I'll tell you why Peyton Manning deserves it. I know Kerry Byrne, we even talked about it a little bit last week, because statistically speaking, Brady is having, you know, the year that an MVP should have, and I totally understand that. But as Kerry knows, and I know as many fans are becoming aware, the NFL and those who cover the NFL love stories.
Yep.
Right?
A good storyline goes a long way, doesn't it, John?
A good storyline leaves a lasting impression.
Yep.
And when you have to have shelf life in order to win an award like MVP, who's going to have shelf life? Now, I would argue that if the Patriots had won Sunday night, that Brady's probably still at the top of the list.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, it's kind of a what have you done for me lately type of thing. And obviously,
and he threw what, 65 passes and 466 yards? And he drops from first to third.
Against the best defense in football.
Right.
You know,
and he drops from first to third.
Hey, but you know what, Joe? It's a bottom line league. And they didn't win. The Broncos won. The Vikings won. And so, you know, guys like Adrian Peterson, Peyton Manning go to the top of the list. What I find interesting, and this is the Boston guy in
yeah,
me, John.
Right.
When right now, the Denver Broncos have one of the best defenses in football. They're mm-hmm. number five in scoring defense. Mm-hmm. They're number one in what we call our defensive hog index, John, the best defensive line in football.
Okay.
And back in the day, everyone said, well, Peyton Manning, you know, he's played with bad defense, and he deserves the MVP because he has a bad defense. Now the tables are turned. Tom Brady's the guy with the inferior defense. Peyton Manning has the superior defense. And the story's turned, too. I find that kind of interesting. I think there's just people love Peyton Manning, and love, obviously, the fact he's gone to a new team. So
yeah, it's
I'm not a conspiracy theorist,
right,
John, but...
But, yeah, but, you know? Right. All right, that having been said, then, let's start with Peterson. Peterson has a big game for the Vikings this week, and they beat Houston. Is he the choice over Manning?
Well, you know what is interesting about him is right now, if you look at his numbers, John, and we broke this down on Cold Hard Football Facts, he is having the same exact season statistically, right down to the number of attempts and yards and average per attempt, as Jim Brown in 1963... The greatest season ever by the greatest running back ever. And coming off the, you know, he tore, you know, both his MCL and ACL last on Christmas Eve,
right,
I believe.
Right, right, right.
That's a pretty remarkable story, too. And I would not be opposed to giving the MVP to Adrian Peterson just because he's doing something historic right now.
That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
And I think that's also another good story that's out there.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's going to trump, you know, what the Patriots might have done had they been able to beat San Francisco on Sunday.
Yeah, and well, you and I talked, too. I think the expectations are so high in New England that they're so good, they win so consistently, they score so many points. It's a non-story. It's we expected almost.
Right.
And,
yeah. Right.
And to your point about, you know, the story means a lot. I agree. It does mean a lot. And listen, you know what? At the end of the day, nobody cares who the MVP is. They want to know who's going to win the Super Bowl. And and you know, that's the ultimate reward, winning the Super Bowl.
No question. All right. What's coming up on your show?
We got a lot going on. We're gonna talk the MVP race. We're gonna talk a little. I know. Do you like beard? Do you like beard, John?
Yes.
Okay. You look like a beard guy.
Why? Does this give it away? No.
I have a belly for radio.
Yeah,
John,
there you go.
You know? We're going to talk to Jim Cook from Sam Adams,
good,
of the Cold Hard Football Facts. We're going to talk to Pete Prisco of CBSSports.com, who's a Jacksonville guy. We're going to talk a little bit about the Jaguars and the problems with that team. And we're going to have a visit from Santa C. Not Santa Claus. Santa C. Our usual guest, Frankie C., will not be with us, but Santa C. will.
Santa C.
He's going to give out gifts to all the good little boys and girls, and probably a few extra gifts for the bad girls.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. I'm intrigued. Kerry Byrne, Cold Hard Football Facts, that's coming up next. Thanks to Kevin. Thanks to, obviously, Field Yates from ESPN Boston, Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly, a regular contributors inside the playbook. We're back same Pat's time, same Pat's channel on Thursday. We'll take another look, a closer look again at the Jaguars, and also Russell Baxter will join us as he is on every Thursday in the playbook. Cold Hard Football Facts. You know them, you want them, you clamor for them. They're coming up next on Patriots.com Radio.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.